Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
He'll be joining me on Wednesday, okay? So we're have a little taste of Danny Cunningham now, and then we'll get the full five-hour experience on Wednesday. Danny, how are we doing today?
I promise not to call you Nick on Wednesday. I will get your name right. I can assure you of that.
You're writing checks that you might not be able to cash. It might just inevitably happen. I don't know. But if you look at me and think Nick, then I need to get on a better diet plan. Something went wrong there, Danny.
Yeah, we need to set you up with a nutritionist if that's ever happening.
By the way, I played Manikiki on Saturday. I had a nice setup. I was going to be able to play 9 holes on Saturday, 9 holes on Sunday. The rare 2-day weekend golf experience. And so I had Manikiki on Saturday. I was playing really well. I was happy with myself, made a couple nice shots. And then Sunday it got rained out. Is there a more disappointing thing in life than a rained out golf experience?
I struggle to think of more disappointing things in life than that. I played Saturday as well. I was hoping to play Sunday, just too wet. I'm hoping to play tomorrow. I hope that the sun finally starts to come out and we finally get some nice days, because it feels like this spring has just been absolutely brutal in terms of the precipitation.
It's been awful.
And here I thought Daniel was going to say, watching the Cavs get gentlemanly swept in the playoffs.
That was brutal, too.
Depends who you ask. I certainly think missing out on golf is brutal, Daryl.
I think missing out on golf is a top three worst lifetime experience for me anytime it happens.
I got bad news for you. Looking out the window, even though the sun's out, I'm guessing the greens are a little soggy right now, too.
I went to the dentist this morning, Daryl, and they were doing the teeth cleaning, and this woman was just prodding and poking everywhere. Not as bad as what happened Sunday in a rained out golf experience. Not as bad at all. All right, Danny joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can find him Locked On Cavs, of course, the Inside Shot on Substack. It's a fantastic Substack. You guys need to subscribe to it immediately. Danny, we obviously led the show talking about Darius Garland and the injury, and finding out 4 to 5 months is the timeline there. Does this impact Darius? Does this impact any trades that the Cavs could have, and what the Cavs would be thinking about trades with this new timeline?
So I think it probably does have some sort of impact, but I also don't think that it was super likely Darius was going to be traded prior to this news coming out today. Like, was he available? Sure. But I don't know that there were a ton of trades out there that made a lot of sense for the Cavs and another team, because it takes two to tango in these things. So I think that before this news came out, I probably thought there was like a 65 to 70% chance that Darius Garland would not be traded. And of course, in the NBA, as you guys know as well as anybody, you can never say never with these things. But I think now it's probably looking like an 80 to 85% chance that Darius Garland is back with the Cavs next year. I just don't think that there is, at this point, with maybe getting a diminished return, should they look to move him, I don't think it would be worth doing so. I don't know that if you are trading Darius Garland for less than what his value is, and I think teams would probably want to give up less considering this injury is going to, I think, cost him at least a little bit of next season, and the fact that he has dealt with some injuries and that is a legitimate knock on his game, I don't think teams would be willing to give up as much. And if teams are not willing to give up as much, I don't think it makes sense for the Cavs to try and trade him then.
Danny, when the injury news came out during the Pacers series, I sarcastically said that look forward to getting the email in the summer that he had surgery. Here we are, June 9, we got the email. He had surgery. Two-part question, did the Cavs throw him under the bus because fans killed him for being soft and being unwilling to play hurt during that Pacers series? And in your mind, does this absolve him from the criticism that the fans, as it turns out, might have been a little unfair in dishing out?
I'll start with the second one. I think it's ridiculous for anyone to call him soft. If you want to say that, like, he's injury prone and he gets hurt, like, that's fine. And I think that there's some evidence to support that, even if some of the stuff is like a fractured jaw, like, there's nothing Darius Garland can do about that. I can't blame him for that. Just like, I don't know that it's his fault he had to deal with this toe injury, but I think that he was playing through a lot of pain. And I think if you watched games 3, 4, and 5 against the Pacers, he looks like somebody that didn't necessarily belong on the floor, not because he's not talented enough, not because he's not good enough, but because he was unable to move. And I think that that was a big part of the reason why the Cavs struggled as much as they did. So whether you want to absolve him for his performance or not, like, I think I understand a little bit of both sides of that. I have looked at this as it's hard for me to really critique what Darius did in those three games, considering kind of what he looks like. Like, if Darius Garland would have looked and moved around like the normal Darius Garland and just shot the ball poorly and turned the ball over a bunch, I think then it would have been pretty fair to be really critical of him. But he didn't look like he was moving around at anywhere near the level we saw Darius Garland at his best this year move around. So I think it's easy to look at that and say, yeah, it's probably a lot of his performance was connected to that. And as far as the first part goes, I do think that the way these injuries have been handled, and we have now seen this in back-to-back postseasons. We saw it with Darius this year where he was listed as questionable for all four games that he missed, I believe. Games 3 and 4 against Miami, and then games 1 and 2 against the Pacers. He was listed as questionable. And certainly for maybe some of those games more than others, there was a better chance he was going to play. But I don't think it was ever a 50-50 thing that Darius Garland was going to play in those games. And I think that when you list somebody as questionable, there's an expectation that it's possible they play. We saw this with Jared Allen dealing with a pretty significant rib injury last year, and he was never going to be able to play through that. Just like Darius Garland tried his best to play through it, we saw what it looked like when he did play through it. And I do think that listing him as questionable, maybe not, and maybe too, this is an injury that lingered longer than expected, and maybe the Cavs didn't have all the information at the time of it. But I don't think that they necessarily look great with the way that this was publicly handled.
So what kind of drop-off are we talking here within trades for Darius relative to this new injury and really the news around the injury? Like, if before we were talking about Jalen Suggs potentially, and whether you like that or didn't like that, it's a different story. Is that even something that is now just too rich for another team's blood?
I mean, if I'm Orlando and I can trade Jalen Suggs for Darius Garland, I would still do that. I don't think the Cavs should have any interest in doing that for a number of different reasons. I think that would be a disaster for Cleveland. But it's hard.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
To say what kind of drop off there is, because it's not as if there are any publicized real offers out there. And I think a lot of this talk has been kind of just off season noise because the Cavs won 64 games and they lost in 5 games in the second round and the playoffs were a disaster. So we have to talk about blowing the team up. And I get all of that. And that's what happens when you come up colossally short in the postseason. But it's hard to say what the drop off is in offers. But if you look at a team maybe like Minnesota, a team that I think should have, if Darius Garland is available, I think that the Wolves should be a team calling the Cavaliers about him. I think if you're Cleveland, that sort of package would need to start at something like Jaden McDaniels and Rob Dillingham, and we will find a way to make the money work because the money does not work for that trade. And it becomes complicated with both teams being apron-level teams. But I think that that package now, if you're Minnesota, probably not going to be on the table. And if you're not getting that type of return, is it really worth trading him? Because Darius Garland is not a player that should ever be traded away just to be traded away. You do not trade away two-time All-Stars that are 25 years old just to get them off the roster. You have to make a trade that would make you better, both, I think, in the near term and the long term. And if there's not a trade that accomplishes that, I don't think that you do a trade just to do a trade.
Danny, because of the view and perception of yet another postseason exit matches the previous 2 years with the whole, you know, physical and mental toughness thing, does this injury to Darius and the impact that it had change the lens with which you look at this playoff exit for the Cavaliers? And what I mean by that is, you know, I have said that you can't run it back with the core four going forward. I said that last year. I was wrong. They won 64 games, were the number one seed. But now, three straight postseasons where we're talking about the same narrative about this basketball team, does the fact that Darius had this injury now change the way you feel about running it back with the core four?
So this does not. I am with you that I don't think that the core four should be run back. I would look into trading Jared Allen. I've been this has been a constant take of mine since the season ended.
You said it day one with us right after the series ended, and I remember the reaction because a lot of people were like, wait, what? Did he just say trade Jared Allen? And then it turned out to be 100% what everyone's logic was.
Right, and I have gone so far as to say that I don't think a core four exists for the Cavs anymore. I think they have three core players. I think Darius Garland is one of them. And if you want to, you could probably make a case that Darius Garland is not a core player and that they have two core players. I'm not there, but I could listen to the argument even if I don't agree with it. I think Jared Allen is a very good player. He's a very high-level role player, but I don't think he's a core player. Cores in the NBA are often not this big, right? Like, we hear the conversation about the Boston Celtics waiting it out and how long did it take for their core to break through, right? We hear 7 years their core was together. Do you know how many guys, so that first year, was LeBron's last year in Cleveland, that Celtics team was in the conference finals. Do you know how many guys were on Boston's roster that year that also won the title with Boston? The answer is three, and one of them is Al Horford, who played for two different teams in between that series against the Cavs and the Celtics winning the title. The core in Boston is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Cores are not big, so I think that the core four is not something that exists. So I do look at it as you should not run back the core four, because I think Jared Allen should be somebody the Cavs look to move. Again, in a similar sense to how I feel about potentially trading Garland, you are not trading him to give him away, but I think that it's an easier trade to make because you don't need to recoup as much value. You don't need to get as great of players back for Jared Allen as you would Darius Garland should you want to make that move. So I do think that running back Darius and Donovan and Evan is the direction that I would go if I'm Kobe Altman. But I don't think that a core four should be a thing we talk about anymore. I think they have three core players. Those three guys all made the All-Star team last year. Two of those guys were all NBA players. And the third was the guard with the most votes that did not make an all-NBA team. And then Jared Allen is a role player. And I think that's kind of how we should look at things.
Danny, my friends in the desert are, not that they've really wavered too much, but after game one, there was some hesitancy there. Pacers plus 400, Thunder minus 525 to win the series now. Do the Thunder have control back in the series after game two?
I think so, because they looked like the Thunder again, right? If you watch game one, and I understand that they had a double-digit lead for a significant chunk of the first game, but they didn't look like the Thunder. They didn't play with the same level of force that if you watch the Oklahoma City Thunder play all season long and all postseason long too, leading up into the series, they didn't look like themselves. I thought they looked a little tentative, and I thought that was very telling. And one of the crazy stats from the first two games is in game two, the Thunder created 10 fewer turnovers by the Indiana Pacers than they did in game one. In game one, the Pacers turned the ball over 25 times, which is just a mammoth amount. And then in game two, they only turned the ball over 15 times. Well, in game two, the Thunder created more points off turnovers than they did in game one. And that, to me, kind of speaks to who the Thunder are. They are so good at capitalizing off those mistakes, and they just didn't do it in game one. And the Pacers took advantage of that, and they had yet another miracle comeback, because that is the thing that the Indiana Pacers are the best at. But I think, ultimately, Oklahoma City is a much better team. I think that if you were to, and I was having this conversation last night with somebody, if you were to simulate the way these first two games have played out, 99 out of 100 times, Oklahoma City is up 2-0 in this series. Mm-hmm. And I think that is more what this series speaks to me than what the reality is. I picked OKC in 5. I still feel pretty good about that prediction, despite the fact they lost game 1.
Check out Danny Locked On Cavs, the inside shot on Substack. Fantastic insight. I look forward to talking with you on Wednesday for the whole 5 hours. It should be a fun time. Thanks, Danny.
Can't wait to fill you in on how I golf tomorrow.
That's all I want to know. Where are you playing? Your typical course or no?
Yes, I will be at the home club tomorrow.
All right, we got to talk about the vanity handicap that you're building over there, but that's neither here nor there. Thank you, Danny.
See you guys.
All right, good stuff. Danny Cunningham on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. React to what he had to say about Darius. That was interesting about whether or not the percentages get changed in his mind about a potential Darius Garland trade after the news of the day. And do the Thunder have control back? It's Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.